Perfect. Hi, hello again, everybody, and welcome into another edition. That's right, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for more Racing Refresh Happy Hour. This one, episode 30 already, titled Rock and Roval. I'm Logan Morris, better known as Loganity from high atop the Loganity Lounge, and thank the Lord I don't do this alone. Matter of fact, it's time to talk about a return this evening after a bit of a hiatus due to that, you know, that kayfabe gig, if you will. Colin Best is back. Let's bring him in here, our senior open wheel guru. Come on in, you beautiful man. Colin Best, come on in.
Hey, guys.
It's good to be home.
It is good to be home. I'm glad I'm back. I saw that there was a return of somebody last week. I thought it was really weird to see him on the show. But he was here in my place, which, I mean, if you got to go to the bullpen every once in a while, if you got to go to the second line, you know, yeah, there's worse options you can do.
There's none better really than the founder, as he says hello to you. Yeah, he came in and stepped up and said, you know, he just happened to be available because it happened to be an off week for him and the jet setters at John Force Racing, and so it just happened to work out that he was available, and it was a lovely time to have him back. Thanks, Matt Moore, for calling. Yes, it is Wednesday already. Has Canada had Thanksgiving already?
You know, we have these things called Canada. Is that why our lovely Racing Refresh is Adam? Adam isn't here today.
Adam is driving to wonderful, beautiful Las Vegas as he'll be covering the race.
We just missed it. Monday, October 9th, was Canadian Thanksgiving.
I'll be doggone. Yes, real Thanksgiving happens in October. Look, Matt, I'm not going to come at you about your Thanksgiving, and you don't come at me about mine, bud. Darren Jones says, Bubba is the man. Bubba's had a hell of a season. Darren, unfortunately, did come up short at the Roval. Thank you for tuning in. But what are your expectations for him in 24? Let us know in the comments. We'll be glad to talk about it. Colin, I know you're a Bubba guy.
I am a Bubba guy. I'm very happy with how his season's going. I'm reading an article right now about why people in Canada celebrate Thanksgiving. It's not really giving me an answer other than you just stay thankful. And it's the same story of European settlers in the 1600s coming to this country. So, I mean, it's just Canadian version of what we got. There's no difference. I mean, they have roasted turkey, stuffing, potatoes.
I'm a stuffing guy.
There's nothing different. Like, this isn't even a thing. We shouldn't even care about Canadian Thanksgiving. Why should I care? It's the same thing. It's a copy paste.
I have a bone to pick with Logan.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. I'm all for it.
He calls stuffing dressing.
It is called dressing. If you are a Thanksgiving Day purist, if you are the traditionalist, it's called dressing.
Well, Well, all right, we're going way off the rail here. What do you say we do our weekend review?
We can touch on this topic throughout. So yes,
I think we can.
We can always come back to it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's called stuffing.
It's called dressing, Peggy.
You stuff the turkey with it.
You don't have to stuff the turkey with anything.
If it's
my mom is white, I should know. There's no seasoning on turkey.
Oh, God, it's going to be a great show. Anywho.
There you go.
Anywho, let's do our weekend review, huh?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Boy,
off to a great start. We're back, baby. We're back.
We're back. We're kicking it. We're kicking it. We're kicking it weekly downshift style, really. I like it.
I love it.
Matt Maher wants to know where's Adam when he needs him. Again, he's heading to wonderful, beautiful Viva Las Vegas to out there to cover the race. Hopefully he'll – I think he's going to try to chime in with some comments depending on where he is with his drive. Anywho, let's do the weekend review. First, the Xfinity Series. Everyone's favorite Xfinity Series driver, Sam Mayer, won his way into the final eight from the pole. The thing about this is, great for Sam Mayer, who's finally really hitting his stride, and I think that's good because he's got personality. Now, whether you like that personality is a different thing. But I still feel like John Hunter's the clear favorite, Colin. What say you?
Yeah, I still think John Hunter's the clear favorite. I think seeing what Sam Mayer has done so far this year, especially on road courses, has sort of been something that we usually would see out of like an A.J. Allmendinger type where – you come to road courses, you expect Allmendinger to take the win. Now, Sam Mayer is probably the best road course racer in the Xfinity Series garage at this point. I find that very hard to debate me on that subject. But, you know, this Xfinity Series race, which I always say on the show that the Xfinity Series is the most entertaining race of any weekend that we have, a NASCAR weekend, was kind of a snoozer. Not going to lie. I found it hard to stay awake with the dominance that Sam Mayer was putting up. This was a good old-fashioned butt-whooping by Sam Mayer. He now advances on to round of eight. We got four more races in the Xfinity Series season. But I still think John Hunter Nemechek, until proven otherwise, unless he has some catastrophe that affects him, in the next three races, I still think he's the championship favorite.
A couple of comments to get to from Ryan Hill. He asked how it's going. It's going well. Colin's back for the first time in a couple of weeks due to his work schedule. And then he says, if you can highlight that for me, Peggy, thank you. He said, I thought the season was over already. Ryan's a Logano guy. And so he is more checked out than a hotel at 11 a.m. He is checked out. So, but Ryan, my question to you is, buddy, are you still watching your Patriots every week? Because 1-4 is not a great start. You can make an argument that they're close to being out of it already. Matt says, I don't think Mayer has been strong enough on any other track type to be considered the championship favorite. Completely agree with you. Matt, who's your championship favorite? Is it John Hunter? Let us know in the comments below. Ryan, who's your Xfinity championship favorite? And are you going to watch this weekend at beautiful Las Vegas where your boy Logano is pretty good? Colin, what would you say to Ryan, who is rooting for a driver that's out of the playoffs? Well, why should he keep tuning in?
I still think if you're a racing fan, I mean, the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series and any type of NASCAR series really still puts on some of the best racing that you'll see in the entire world. We'll touch on this later, but I would rather watch a boring NASCAR race than a boring Formula One race at this point, because Max Verstappen has just been dominating the entire season so far to this point. You know, there's only five races left in the NASCAR season. We've quickly come to the almost conclusion of this entire NASCAR season. Sorry, four. We're not going to have racing for another 3 months after this. I mean, it's going to be until February that we have racing. And I mean, the off season is going to fly by. Don't get me wrong.
Cold winter.
When we get to middle of January, end of January, you're going to miss racing on TV. And with Formula One having already locked up a champion, we're sort of on the Max Verstappen victory lap for the next couple of months until the end of November is when the Formula One ends. So, I mean, if you really want competitive racing now and you want something to hold you over, jump on the NASCAR Cup Series schedule right now. This is, I mean, watching the Patriots just is brutal. I mean, I suffered a brutal loss over the weekend. The Orioles lost 3 games to the Texas Rangers, an absolute shellacking by the Texas Rangers.
Good word, shellacking.
Big swings and big things down there in Texas. They got it going on, and I don't know who they play in the ALCS. That will be determined, I think, over the next couple of days. But I am a sad Orioles fan. They always disappoint me. They just do.
Look, their window's way open right now. But the next 4 or 5 years for us in Cincinnati and you in Baltimore are going to be really fun to watch. Ryan says the Patriots are limited for playoff contention, but he's watching. Okay, what's the difference? Logano has 30 of play speed, pardon me, and it's a joy to watch. Look, look, you got to stay loyal to your boy. Think about it. No one understands the struggle of non-playoff seasons more than me. All right, on this panel. Peggy, any thoughts?
Not on that. Right. I'm here to announce a special guest.
Okay.
Who do we got? Sir, you're driving.
Hello.
Adam, care about it.
You're driving, Adam. What the hell are you doing?
I just wanted to say hi and say thanks for carrying on the show without me. And I'm tuning in on my drive here. I'm not looking at you guys. I'm watching the road. It's okay.
All right. Where are you at, Adam? And are you in the United States right now?
Not yet. No, I will be in the next 30 minutes.
Welcome to the greatest country on planet Earth.
So while you're here, Adam, we have a very important question to ask you because we were talking about Sam Mayer's dominance in the Xfinity Series, but you know, it was a pretty dominant showing, not much to talk about. But we opened the show today with the importance of Canadian Thanksgiving. I say, who cares? It's the same thing as American Thanksgiving. Why should Canadians, or why should us Americans, care about Canadian Thanksgiving?
Because you should be thankful that we are your neighbors to the north, and so you should accept us for who we are in the same way that we accept your American Thanksgiving, even though yours maybe has a bit more of a problematic past than ours does.
Well, Adam, thank you so much. It was all the time we had today. Thank you.
Adam, is it called stuffing or dressing?
Stuffing.
Thank you.
That is undeniably wrong right there. That's fake news.
See, Patty just comes in, gets her, you know.
Gets her confirmation bias.
And then she leaves. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like the confirmation bias with the vortex theory. You know, I say it doesn't exist. And the reason it doesn't exist because I know our ex-fearless leader, AJ Appeal might be watching, and they don't go in circles in drag racing, yet it still rains.
So, Brian, it's dressing, my boy. But no, I'm a believer in the vortex theory. The vortex theory actually won again this week. Did you see any rain at the Rover?
Yeah, because the weather was clear skies and 70 degrees. There was no rain.
Well, that doesn't fit my narrative, so that's tough.
What has Canada given me that I don't already have?
Adam, a lovely friendship with Adam Kirwan.
Don't take us for granted, Colin.
Well, Adam, yes, Adam's great. And, you know, I listen to Drake on occasion. You know, that's great, too. Apparently, if you listen to, if you believe what Dave Grohl said in a whiskey company that won't be named until they become a sponsor here at Racing Refresh, that Canadians gave us football. And now I don't believe that because, as Ron Swanson said famously, anything before 1776 doesn't matter. No, it doesn't exist. It's like, as to quote Matthew McConaughey's character in The Wolf of Wall Street, it's fugazi, it's fugazi, it's fairy dust, it doesn't exist, you know?
All right, well, we gotta get to moving. Ryan says he's Lord of the Gano, he watched Vega and the Robo. I only miss Texas. Adam, are you hanging out or are you going off screen?
No, I better go. I should probably concentrate on my driving, but it's good to see you guys. I'm sorry I'm missing you today.
And you'll be listening.
I'll be listening, and I'll be back next week with a, you know, a little update on my time in Vegas. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You're gonna type some comments when you get to the border. Appreciate it.
Well, we'll see how the border lineup is. We'll see.
All right, buddy.
No texting and driving, right?
So. Safe drive, buddy. Safe trip.
I hope the maple syrup you're bringing through customs makes it through.
Same. I hope so, too. What else am I going to eat?
He said same. Matt says he misses you, Adam. He misses you dearly.
I miss you, too, Matt. But, I'm not completely out of touch. I will be able to read my phone in Vegas. Pretty sure they have Wi-Fi there, so...
I didn't get this when I left. I watched both shows when I wasn't here, and no one said they missed me.
I did miss you. I even texted
you. Well, I know you did, but the public.
I missed you, too.
Well, of course you did.
The public missed you because that meant they had to hear more from me, which is not great.
Well, he's a humble fellow, boys. All right, we got to keep moving it along. Adam, we will see you. Safe trip, safe travels, buddy.
Thank you.
I love you, you Canadian weirdo.
You too. Well, not Canadian, but love you too, guys. Bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
All right. So eliminated from the playoffs was Daniel Hemric, Parker Kligerman, Josh Berry, and Jeb Bertone. For a top prospect, Josh Berry is not coming in with a lot of momentum. Fair?
Yeah.
Can we admit that some of us have overhyped the Josh Berry train?
I think overhyping him coming into the Cup Series next year, or overhyped him in general.
Some people have really overhyped him, I think.
See, I don't think Josh Berry was going to be like the next big thing in anything. Like, he wasn't like one of these generational talents that you see come up from the Xfinity Series or the Truck Series, like a Christian Eckes or a Carson Hocevar, that type of person who you know he has success laid out in front of him. Josh Berry, to me, had to be in the right position to succeed. That's all he had to do. And the thing I come up with Josh Berry is that if Dale Jr. says he has the talent to drive a race car, I'm not going to go against that. I think Dale Jr. has been pretty solid in the talent that he has developed. Now, I will say he did have drivers on his payroll who probably were just there because they had sponsorship, Michael Annett being one of them. But I wouldn't say Michael Annett was going to light the world on fire as terms of driver talent. But what I do think is that the people who've come out from JRM, who have been through the development system, have gone on to have somewhat very successful careers when they graduate to the Cup Series. And I don't think Josh Berry is going to be any different. I think he'll get a couple wins. Will he be fighting for championships? Probably not. I don't think so. But will he be a big guy to watch on short tracks and super speedways in his time in the Cup Series? Absolutely he will.
Matt says absolutely fair, but he doesn't know about overhyped. He thinks being a second full-time year is a bit of a slump with a bad luck, not necessarily bad performances. Fair. So Matt, let me ask you this. What do you think Josh Berry's ceiling is in the Cup Series, whether that be next year or long-term? Let me know in the comments below. We'll get to him as much as we can, buddy. Keep them coming. Thanks so much. All right. So in the Cup Series, A.J. Allmendinger got his third win in the Cup Series. And when Allmendinger wins, he celebrates like a child, and it's beautiful to watch. The heavy rumor is he's going back down to the Xfinity Series. That's the heavy rumor. So what do you make of this win, and do you think that his emotional reaction to it sold the fact that he's probably going to the Xfinity Series, Colin?
I think... To me, that AJ Allmendinger, where I came off on the emotion is that this is a swan song season. That I don't think that if Allmendinger went down, what would be the reason he'd go to the Xfinity Series other than just to keep racing? Because, I mean, he does have an open wheel experience. He raced in IndyCar. He raced in kart. He does have that experience. He can go back to IndyCar and kart and do something there. He would draw fans back to that series if he wanted to. But it comes off to me as this may be the last time we see AJ Allmendinger in a NASCAR stock car after this year.
See, I do. I think he's going to go back to the Xfinity Series because I think he's extremely loyal to Colleague, and I think that's what Colleague wants. I think they're in a bit of a pickle on what to do with it because I don't want to say too much too fast, but Colleague is almost growing quicker than they can handle, if that makes sense. Does that make sense? They're almost growing quicker than they can handle, so I think a stopgap year for Allmendinger in the Xfinity Series, which I think very well could be his swan song, I think he knows it's very possible that he won his last cup race, and I think that's where that comes from. Although, to be fair, every time he wins, he gets it going like he's Charlie Sheen. I mean, he really celebrates those cup wins the way you should celebrate them, to be honest, because he's right when he said, you never know when you're going to do it again. It could always be your last one. We say, well, such and such one, it's not going to be his last one. You just never know. You just never know. Jimmy Johnson suddenly stopped winning. After three wins, he suddenly stopped winning. You just never know. So I do. I think it's a situation of where I think he's going back down the Xfinity Series. And I think that's a stopgap to help Colleague. But overall, I think he knows that because he'll have a handful of starts next year in a cup car. Wouldn't surprise me a bit, you know, a third car here and there for the right road course. But overall, it's tough to see him. It's tough to see him winning again. Matt Marr, going back to the Josh Berry conversation, he said in terms of expectations, let me see if I can get that out. Year one, top 10s, top 20 points. Long-term, another Eric Almirola entering top equipment in the middle of what would be most cup careers and roundup. Well, wind up around 10 wins and a few playoff appearances. I think that would be good. I think that would be good. Because if he gets around 10 wins, guess what? That's outdoing Eric. And I'm not disrespecting Eric, but I don't know if Eric has ever – he outperformed RPM equipment. No question about that. But I don't know if he ever lived up to SHR equipment. What say you, Kyle?
Who, Eric Almirola? Yeah, I don't think
he ever. Thought he outperformed RPM. You know, I thought he really outperformed that equipment, got him a playoff appearance, got the rain shortened Daytona win, and was consistently in the top 15 and top 20 during an era where, I mean, we all know the struggles that Petty had sponsorship-wise. But at SHR, when he got the kind of the golden ticket and the golden opportunity, I don't know if he ever lived up. What say you?
I mean, I think finishing back then when you were with Richard Petty's equipment, finishing top 20, top 15 – was a solid day for you. I mean, that's not blunt or harsh for me to say. That was just the reality of the situation compared to the level of talent that was in the Cup Series when Eric Almirola was with RPM. Now you go to SHR when they were sort of now – they were past their peak that we saw with Kevin Harvick, you know, being consistent. I mean, he did win like nine races – 1 year after Almirola did join SHR, but I mean, sort of like a blimp on the radar, they were all consistently in a downward trend after Kevin Harvick's championship season in 2014, which is kind of surprising. They've been on this downtrend, but you know, I don't think Eric Almirola was a good enough driver to perform in that car, even with the level of equipment that SHR did have at one time. And you look at where SHR is now, and Kevin Harvick is consistently outpacing that equipment, but no one really else is. I mean, we haven't really talked much about Chase Briscoe at all this year. We haven't talked about Ryan Preece pretty much at all this year. So, and every time we do talk about SHR, we talk about where they go, what happened to them. They used to be so great. Now they're not anymore. It's a mediocre name, Eric Almirola, and I'm sorry to be so blunt, but in 10 years, we're going to be like, who is that guy again who drove the 10 car for SHR, like, you know, a couple of years ago? I mean, that's where we're going to be. I mean, it's kind of – I feel like, to me, we'll treat Eric Almirola how we kind of treat, like, Paul Menard or somebody like that, like a Casey Kane-ish, like, sort of in terms of how relative they are. So – in the grand scheme of things, it kind of, it's sad to say this, but Eric Almirola was just a blimp on the radar in terms of NASCAR's existence.
Well, some I don't want to say a hot take from you, but certainly some blunt takes. All right, going back to the Roval, remember that was an elimination race. So eliminated from the playoffs was Brad Kay, Ross Chastain, Bubba Wallace, and Kyle Busch. Who's the biggest surprise getting eliminated there?
Ross Chastain, for sure. What we saw coming off his last year where he had a multiple win season and everyone was talking about him making that next step with Trackhouse Racing and you know, in 34 races so far this year, it didn't look like he took that next step in terms of development with Trackhouse Racing. Certainly this whole season at the beginning of it, what we talked about last year was Ross Chastain is probably the most aggressive driver on the Cup Series. And really since Darlington and the Goodyear 400, we never saw that again in him, which to me sort of put him on that trajectory down to where I did not think he was going to have a long championship run like he did. But I will say he was probably the most surprising one. Second, I think, would be Bubba Wallace, because a lot of people, including myself, did not think he would make it out of the round of 16. And each year with that 23-11 program, it looks like Bubba Wallace is becoming the driver that we think he always could have been, a super talented driver, competitive. He still hasn't picked up that first win of 2023. There's still three more chances for him to do it. But what I saw after that post-race press conference where post-race media availability, where you saw that, you know, he thought he was going to be down on himself. And that's what I thought. That's probably what you thought too, Logan, that he was going to criticize himself. But he seemed very confident for someone who just got eliminated. I think he could bounce back in 2024 and be a top driver in the Cup Series and actually contend for wins if he keeps up this sort of mental toughness about him. I mean, that's sort of the common thing that all great NASCAR drivers, athletes in any sport have, is that mental toughness. And if Bubba Wallace can sustain that, I think 2024 could be a great year for Bubba Wallace, and we could see him possibly have a deeper playoff run next year.
I agree. Bubba had a career year. I mean, say what you want. I know he's a controversial name to some NASCAR fans, and that's whatever. That's more your right. Matt Morris says, I agree, Chastain, him making the championship four last year made the expectation for 2023 to either repeat or win the championship. Yeah, it did feel like it was weird. After Mr. H made his comments, something changed. Maybe that was a complete quinky-dink. I don't believe that. But after Mr. H made his comments, something changed. We know that Justin Marks and Ross Chastain had some sort of conversation. We were of course, not privy to know what that conversation was in terms of specifics, but it was odd. It felt like Trackhouse lost their mojo some, but to be fair, maybe they didn't lose their mojo. Maybe other teams caught up. Maybe they haven't lost a thing. Maybe it's that they've just been kind of plateaued this season. I don't know. I really don't. In terms of Bubba Wallace, I do. I think that his future is incredibly bright. He's finally hitting that potential we thought he always had, you know, that he even showed flashes of back in the RPM days. The question for him is always going to be, and this is cliche, but it's like everybody else, it's really battling himself, right? He's proven, you know, some people will say, all right, you won Talladega, but it was a rain race. And some people that aren't even bubble critics hate the idea of winning rain races. But guess what? Kansas wasn't a rain race. So guess what? He can win. He can win on, and that's huge. And he's had a couple of big time opportunities to win this season. He's come really close this season. So I think the future is bright for him. Out of those names that were eliminated, Colin, who do you think is most likely to win? Out of the names that were eliminated this week, who do you think is most likely to win the championship in 2024? Just to refresh you while you're thinking, the names eliminated were Brad Kay, Ross Chastain, Bubba, and Kyle Busch.
That's a really hard question because
That's what I'm here for, buddy.
None of those four statistically on paper have what they have, like other teams have, like the consistent speed that that Joe Gibbs Racing has or the top-tier drivers. I mean, I wouldn't put them in A-tier drivers. I mean, outside of Kyle Busch, maybe, is still deserved to be A-tier. I think I like to think that Bubba Wallace probably has the better shot. What they have with Legacy Motor Club becoming a Toyota faction, that certainly bolsters Toyota's knowledge of what's going on with the next gen car. We don't know what kind of developments could be seen in year three. We're gonna wait till the off season to see if there's any changes, but. If Bubba Wallace has the mental toughness that he's seen, because over and over again this year, what we've saw out of Bubba Wallace and multiple times is him losing confidence at some point during the season and him getting it back up. Something happens when he gets it back up and then it goes down. And obviously, a lot of these things have happened because he's had a fast car and a pit crew mistake, which cost him a lot in 2022, happened again to him in 2023. For the past couple of months, he hasn't had a pit road mistake, and he's actually been somewhat of a consistent driver week in and week out. To me, I wouldn't be surprised if Bubba Wallace goes off for a couple wins next year. I think he has the talent to do it. Certainly, the mental toughness thing, which I keep coming back to, is going to be the biggest question mark. But if that's really controlled, I think the world may see a lot more of Bubba Wallace in the future. So I'm gonna go him. He has the best shot to be champion.
I think that's a great argument. I think it's a great point. I'm going to take Brad K just because I think RFK is really finding something that I think they're going to build on. Again, he's not my championship favorite for 24. But out of that group, I think I'd put him just by a nose above Bubba. Yeah. All right. So we got to keep moving along. There was an F1 race. Tell us about Qatar, Colin. I guess it was real hot.
Yeah, it was. It's Qatar. Not Qatar. It's Qatar. Let's all learn geography. Say it with me, Logan. Qatar.
Qatar.
There you go.
All right.
But
you know, let me get this comment from Matt. Kyle Busch, RCR has improved a lot with him in 2023. With two championships already to his name, he knows what it takes. I believe this year was a lot of team adjustment and chemistry creating.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So tell us about Qatar.
So, yeah, Max, I think the big storyline from this race is Max Verstappen is now, again, the Formula One world champion. That was something that we could clearly see even from week one of this season. Even when Max Verstappen crashed out of the Australian Grand Prix, he didn't even win it. We knew that Max Verstappen came to play in 2023, and now after winning his 14th race of the season, he is now a three-time Formula One world champion. He's won the past 3 years. There's really nothing to talk about this race because he did dominate it. Now, I will say, watching George Russell have a charge to the field to get into a podium finish, that was great for him. Ferrari, again, like we have said all this year, has struggled so much this year. They had a fuel leak in Carlos Sainz's car that they caught just an hour before the race, and they didn't get it fixed in time. I'm starting to think that the Ferrari team is actually purposely doing things on purpose to just suck and just destroy their reputation. There's too many things that they do strategy call wise and issues with the car that just, it does not seem like they're accidents. It seems like it's on purpose and I have no idea why. But the other thing that came from this race is that Lewis Hamilton made a mistake, which we don't really see him make a lot of mistakes in Formula One, but he had a bold move going into turn one, took himself out of the race very early in the race. And I think this was Lewis Hamilton's first DNF in quite some time. I mean, I can't remember the last time he had a DNF. I think Monza 2021, I think that was the last time he had a DNF. So for him, you know, he's obviously had a disappointing season. I think the story is, how many more races will Max Verstappen win so far this year? Because You look at he won last year at COTA, so that's the next race, the circuit of the United States Grand Prix. He won at Mexico City last year. He didn't win the Brazilian Grand Prix. George Russell won that race last year. And then you have the new Las Vegas Grand Prix, and then he won the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix last year. If things happen just like they did in 2022, Max Verstappen wins four of the next five races to finish out the season, would be certainly the most impressive dominating season in Formula One that I think we have ever seen. If Verstappen can keep this up for at least four more years, he would challenge Lewis Hamilton as probably the greatest F1 driver of all time. Certainly, I think you can make that conversation now on why Max Verstappen is probably the best driver in Formula One history. But another thing that made me laugh is that George Russell was complaining about the heat. It was 50 degrees Celsius. I don't know if any of our Canadian friends are watching here. They can probably tell me how hot that is. And I feel like people were like, well, NASCAR drivers race in 130 degree weather for 3 hours all the time. But apparently 50 degrees Celsius is very hot to the British people. And, you know, just step your game up, I guess. Drivers suffering heat issues and trouble staying cool. Is it an issue of teams not preparing better, or is the FDI? See, if the FIA now, and I hate them too, I feel like I'm whatever time I think of the FIA, if you remember Logan, Brian Boz, you remember the Boz from the 80s? And he lifted up his shirt when he got suspended, and it said the National Communist Association of Athletes. That's what I think of the FIA. It is not, they're not a prestigious, they're not a holier than thou organization. I mean, they take money from Saudi Arabia and whatever, you know, that's politics outside of racing, but you can fill the blanks in. With the amount of engineering in these cars, and we haven't had a hot race, quote unquote, hot race in quite some time in Formula One. I think the hottest race in like recent memory was probably 10 or 15 years ago when Bahrain didn't have lights yet, and they ran the Grand Prix of Bahrain during the day. And certainly when you have Qatar, and I don't know what the temperature was. I caught the broadcast a little bit later. Certainly, I think there's a lot of things that the FIA can do. They all do have these cooling helmets with the hose, like you see in the Cup Series and other forms of motorsport. You do see Lewis Hamilton wear a cold bodysuit. Now, those things aren't required by the FIA because a lot of these teams try to cut weight out of these cars. We're talking about maybe a couple pounds can translate to maybe a couple tenths on the racetrack. And, you know, if what everyone else is doing is trying to match the speed set up by the Red Bull cars, you're trying to do whatever you possibly can to make these cars faster to be competitive. So unless the FIA mandates temperature devices to keep themselves cool, because you do also got to remember, these are also open air cockpits, and I don't know how much airflow these drivers are getting. Maybe the temperatures at maybe 150 degrees, if it's 103 degrees outside and you're going 200 miles an hour, it may feel like a very nice day depending on the breeze. But, you know, because of these things that happen so infrequently with these drivers complaining about temperatures, I do think that maybe as like maybe Tom Brady does, he drinks like probably a gallon of water every minute because he's so hydrated and pliable, and that's the TB12 life. I think maybe this goes down to driver preparation throughout the week, you know, hydrating, staying fit. Certainly, I think it's something that could be fixed for next year. But when you race in these desert climates, and for them it's not the touch of fall that we're getting here in the States and in North America, I mean, you got to be more prepared for what's going on. So unless the FIA does like NASCAR, you see a lot of the guys run the cool suits, and those aren't mandated by NASCAR. That's just a driver comfort that everyone is willing to jump on board and get, regardless of saving a couple pounds. I'd rather have my driver survive racing for 3 hours versus not, you know, getting pulled out of the car for heat exhaustion. So if I was the FIA, I would mandate any driver safety / comfort things that, and make it across the board for every team, because then there would be no way to get an advantage out of it. But if as long as you have people like Toto Wolff and Christian Horner from Red Bull, if they can take 5 pounds out of the car to make themselves 3/10 faster, they would do it, and they would sacrifice driver safety in order to do that. So that's a question that we can talk about for an hour, but we only have 19 minutes left in the show. So,
well, look, we'll keep you up to date on the comings and goings of F1 as they close out their season. Of course, Max Verstappen already locked it up. Colin, I think you got a good article idea there with Max Verstappen versus Lewis Hamilton. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think I do. And now with work kind of slowed down, with my personal job, my kayfabe job,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, the gig.
We are through city budget season, so things are a little bit dead. And I was thinking that my Friday, I actually get off at 2:00. So I guess we can get some open wheel content coming back to Racing Refresh. So stay tuned this week. Yeah, we'll get something out.
Let's hope so. All right, with that, let's keep moving along. It's time for our happy hour headlines. Beautiful neon.
Beautiful, I missed it.
A lot of silly season updates to get to. Let's do it. Haley Deegan is moving to Xfinity. She's going to AM Racing. You know, her one start in Xfinity was a successful one, but on paper, it's tough to say she deserves to move up, but it's better for the sport if she succeeds. What are your expectations for her?
You know, I think Haley Deegan's promotion to the Xfinity series is good. And I think that what we saw in the K&N days for her as the dirt princess, we saw that she had a lot of talent in that K&N car. And you take out some downforce, and they do have less downforce numbers than the trucks, and she performed admirably. I wouldn't say that she was lighting the world on fire, but she did win two races, and they both were on dirt. So, you know, good for her. But I do think she does have pure driving talent. I wouldn't say on the level of Kyle Larson, but I would compare it against, you know, any of the higher middle tier of anyone in NASCAR right now. She can compete. She can get top tens. It'll be very interesting to see. I think she's going to go through a very rough phase to start the Xfinity Series season because she's learning a new car and everything. And we're probably going to have the conversation. Does Haley Deegan moved up too soon? I'm going to give her a year to try to get things figured out. And if she doesn't perform in the Xfinity Series in probably 2 or 3 years from now, maybe we can have the discussion if Haley Deegan was there potential there, wasted potential, whatever. But I'm very excited for her. This is good news for the sport. As long as women, regardless of the sponsorship or talent level, if they're getting opportunities in motorsports, we should absolutely take advantage of it, because I feel like motorsports, outside of motorsports, we're the only kind of world that both men and women can compete together. And the only difference, the only thing holding you back is your left hand, right hand, and your feet. That's the only difference that's holding you back and what's going on up here. Other than that, no one cares about how fast you run a 40. No one cares about how good you can hit a ball. Unless you're the Baltimore Orioles, then you need all the hitting help that you can get. Sorry. I know it's a young team, but I'm so mad. But this is good news for Haley Deegan. I'm very happy that she's finally getting an opportunity.
We'll see how she does. Of course, we'll keep you up to date next season. Ty Dillon is out of the 77. Carson Hocevar is in. Of course, Carson Hocevar has spent a lot of time with Legacy Motor Club this season since the Noah Gregson departure. He's outperformed everything he's in. I think it's a good move for Carson Hocevar, and I think it's a great move for Spire. It's a multi-year deal. We'll talk more about Ty Dillon here in just a moment. We touched on this already. AJ Allmendinger likely return full-time to the Xfinity season. And so the Cup 16, I guess that's still open. Colin, any guesses on who might go to the 16 if Allmendinger is indeed leaving or moving down to the Xfinity Series?
You know, I thought about this a lot when I read the script, and the only name that comes to me is Christian Eckes. I think he is the guy. in that organization to take that next step. I think he was a phenomenal truck driver. And if you're a phenomenal truck driver in today's world of the next gen car, you will do well in the NASCAR Cup Series. So for me, if Kolig wants to go trophy hunting and they want the best opportunity they can, they got to put Christian Eckes in that car and they can go trophy hunting.
Well, they like to go trophy hunting, but we'll see. Matt, let us know who you think will win the 16. He said he's excited for the opportunity that Josevar has now. I think we all are. Josevar has proven a lot in a short amount of time. We're seeing what he's doing with the 42, and he's had them consistently top 15, top 10. And no one else that's been in that car this year can say that. You know, we've talked at length about Noah Gregson's struggles, but Josh Berry's couple of starts hasn't gone well, and neither has Rockenfeller's. So Carson Josevar might be a really special, special cat. Here's an interesting one. Chandler Smith might be interested in going to JGR despite the fact he's got 2 years on his deal at Kolig. What do you make of that scuttlebutt, Colin?
What was that question? You cut out my audio a little bit on my end.
Chandler Smith is interested in going to JGR despite having 2 years left on his Kolig deal. Have you seen that little bit of scuttlebutt?
I have seen that little scuttlebutt, and that's a very interesting thing about NASCAR business that we never really get to see the inner workings of. And when I first read it, it reminded me of the if you don't remember the Alex Palou situation when he was talking about trying to go to McLaren after leaving Chip Ganassi, but he stayed with Chip Ganassi and he didn't go to McLaren. If I was any driver in any series, if Joe Gibbs entered a car, let's say truck series, I know he has an Xfinity series and a Cup Series ride, I would do whatever possible to get myself in that ride, regardless of contract. Because you know, if you go to that Gibbs car, if you go to that Gibbs organization, you will be in the best, one of the best cars, if not the best car in the field every single week. So for me, Chandler Smith, if you have to buy out your own contract, and I don't know how much money your contract is for a buyout, but if you have the money, do it, because I feel like you would certainly take your career to the next level in NASCAR, and really kind of, if you compete for championships in an Xfinity Series Gibbs car, you have the shot to go to the Cup Series and make a name for yourself. So Chandler Smith, do what you got to do.
The interesting thing about that is, though, Chandler Smith would be going to a very crowded Toyota pipeline. Keep in mind, now you got Legacy Motor Club heading there, so John Hunter Nemechek might be in the Gibbs pipeline. Eric Jones could be back in the Gibbs pipeline. Martin Truex is becoming Brett Favre in terms of his retirement questions. Denny Hamlin might have 5 years left. Where's the room for, in terms of the long game, for a guy like Chandler Smith?
I don't think there'd be any room for the long game because I think Toyota has really positioned itself to have a good crop of young drivers in the Cup Series. Because after Hamlin leaves, I think if Hamlin was going to leave, he wouldn't be leaving to the Cup Series. He wouldn't be leaving the Cup Series. He'd be going to 2311 and fueling a third team with 2311. And then Martin Truex Jr., I guess he pulled the trigger on the boat. He just doesn't want to use it yet, so he'll keep racing forever long he wants to. And that's the thing about Hamlin and Truex is I don't think Gibbs, based on the success that they've Gibbs has given him, as long as there's sponsorship, they'll keep those two in the car for as long as they possibly want to. It's different because Kyle Busch didn't have any sponsorship and he was gone. So if Chandler Smith were to go there, you know, unless Legacy Motor Club decides to buy another charter and 2311 decides to get another charter, he would just be stuck in Gibbs developmental series rides. So, but we're all just talking about a lot of ifs. And if these charter prices keep going up like we expect them to, then Chandler Smith will just be stuck in, for lack of a better term, Xfinity Series purgatory. That's kind of where Toyota drivers just go because there's no room for you. So, I mean, if Chandler Smith wants to make the Cup Series faster, I would stay where he's at because I think there's a spot for him. If he wants to develop as a driver and get better in the better equipment, then go to Gibbs. I think that's the best thing you can do for yourself. Those are his two options.
Matt makes a good point about the fact that Austin Hill makes a compelling case for that 16 car. The unique thing about that, and we're going to talk about this team in just a second, he signed a multi-year extension with RCR earlier this season to stay in the Xfinity Series at least for one more year, I believe. And yeah, so, I don't think he's going anywhere. So, yeah, it's tough to know. I mean, at that point, I think you look at Eckes. I think you're right about that. Perhaps Noah Gregson is someone that they would give an opportunity to. And when he was a member of the colleague family. And when I say colleague family, I mean colleague family. And so maybe Noah Gregson would get an opportunity there. We'll see what happens. Sheldon Creed is out of the two in the Xfinity Series, which is pretty surprising. But Colin, let me ask you this. I told you, I said Ty Dillon just lost his ride. Does this open up for him to go there? Is that what this is about? I feel like it is.
It possibly is, but I don't think – realistically, I don't think Sheldon Creed showed me anything to be moved up to the Cup Series at this point. He has been so close so many times, and he hasn't tasted victory. And, you know, I agree with Dale Earnhardt Jr. If you want someone from a lower series to come up to the Cup Series, you have to show me that you can consistently win in that lower series. And for lack of a better term, Sheldon Creed hasn't done that. He's either finished bridesmaid multiple times, like a Mark Martin type drive, or he's put himself in positions where that win has eluded him. So he may stay in the Xfinity Series. I think that's more likely here than a Cup Series ride. But to think who fills that Ty Dillon seat, and for anyone to have a career like Ty Dillon, where he's just been passed around so much in his young career, it kind of makes me feel bad for Ty Dillon. You had this love for Ty Dillon a couple of years ago, and I thought about you when I saw this, and I was like, how do you feel about Ty Dillon leaving that
seat? I think Ty Dillon, I still like Ty Dillon. I still think he gets a raw deal in comparison to his brother, who seems not to be able to have a hot seat in his life. I think Ty Dillon's going to the two. I think that's what this is about. I think you're right. I think Sheldon Creed has underperformed. And I think Ty Dillon gets one more shot in the two in the Xfinity Series, which I think fits his skill set greatly. As far as Sheldon Creed goes, I think he stays somewhere in the Xfinity Series, and I think he does a handful of starts next year in the 78. They're planning to run an open car, and he made his Cup debut in the 78 earlier this season anyway. So I think he does a handful of starts for the 78 next season, but I think he's full-time somewhere in the Xfinity Series. Perhaps colleague, remember, Daniel Hemric is coming up. So perhaps that'll be an option to think about. But I do. I think Austin Dillon's going to go to the two, or not Austin Dillon, pardon me. Ty Dillon's going to go to the two. I think nothing else makes a whole lot of sense, you know, because the pipeline for Chevy isn't that deep. So I think Ty Dillon gets one last shot at it. I think he gets the two in the Xfinity Series. That's just my humble opinion. Let us know what you think below. Finally, Matt Kenseth joins Legacy Motor Club as a competition advisor. He'll be a mentor to John Hunter Nemechek and Eric Jones. I think this is a really cool move. He can help the transition to Toyota. It does feel odd, though. There's so many like extra positions at this race team. It's kind of ridiculous. They have so many high up executives. Of course, Richard Petty serves as team ambassador. They have so much extra. And I'm a Matt Kenseth guy, as well known. But here's my conundrum with this. Unless he's planning to do a couple of starts next year to get some experience in this car, what can he really provide in terms of mentorship for this car that Jimmy Johnson or Richard Petty can't? I just don't quite get the need for another mentor or coach unless he's planning to. Now, if he's planning to, I don't know, do a handful of starts in a third car, I know that Jimmy runs the 84. They could get another number for two or three Matt Kenseth starts. You know, the 44 is probably available at this point. I don't understand, like, what the point is. Eric Jones certainly doesn't need mentoring, and he could mentor John Hunter. And again, you have Jimmy Johnson and Richard Petty hanging out. I know that Jimmy's off in Europe. He's trying to heal, but at some point, I imagine he'll be much more back involved in the day-to-day operations. Kind of a perplexing move. What say you, Colin?
Yeah, it kind of seemed like a good old boy kind of thing where I'm just giving jobs to all my friends. That's what it kind of just feels like. And like you mentioned, what does Matt Kenseth bring as a competition advisor to Legacy Motor Club? Part of me thinks that, you know, if Roush Fenway, back when Matt Kenseth was there, had a somewhat decent competition advisor, we wouldn't have seen Roush Fenway fall off like they did in the middle to mid-2000s. That wouldn't have happened, in my opinion, I don't think. So unless, you know, Matt takes the lessons he learned with the fallings of Roush Fenway and applies in the Legacy Motor Club and say, hey, this is what we did, make sure you don't do that. That's the only thing I can kind of get out of this situation. But to be honest, I think what you said, I think this just opens the pipeline for maybe a one-two-off start for Matt Kenseth in 2024, just to come on back, say, hey, I'm back, I'm still here, I can still race, and he'll finish in a solid top 20 or something like that, and he'll walk away with a –
Do you think he does a start for LMC next year?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I think I don't think Matt Kenseth – Like many racers who retire and that we see them have the itch to come back, outside of Carl Edwards, everyone still has that itch to somewhat compete. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Kenseth comes back for a one-off, kind of like what Ryan Newman did with Ware, and just say, hey, I'm going to just come back for like the short tracks and stuff, yeah. something that you know I have a shot at.
Yeah, Ryan Newman will make his final start for Rick Ware at Martinsville in a few weeks, I believe. Yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, I just don't know. Like, I think it's cool. Matt Kenseth is a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest ever. It'd be cool if he starts a time or two. I just don't know in terms of mentorship and competition advisory what he can provide that Jimmy Johnson can't or Mike Beam can't, or even, like I said, from a pure mentorship standpoint, what Richard Petty can't. It feels like we're just kind of creating extra positions at certain points, but we'll see how it goes. Maybe he has connections in the Toyota pipeline that I'm not thinking of. All right, finally, Homestead's honoring Kevin Harvick with the name of the race this year, the Forever 400. Boy, that's pretty cool. I gotta admit, pretty cool. All right, so with that, it's time for our weekend preview. So the trucks are off. Xfinity Cup and our good man Adam Carbine are all in Las Vegas. The NHRA is in Ennis, Texas. So that's where the founder will be. Any overarching thoughts on Vegas before we get to race and refresh picks, Colin?
It was a very fun race last year, watching the Vegas races, Xfinity and Cup last year, and if I don't think what we'll see last year with Bubba Wallace punching Kyle Larson in the face, because that's what we saw last year. If you don't remember, it was the incident coming off turn four. Bubba Wallace was suspended for, I think, a week or so, getting out of the car. And it actually ended Christopher Bell's championship run because he got involved in that. It was certainly a spicy affair in Las Vegas last year. I don't think it'll be that spicy. I think it'll be a little bit tamer. But I do think the racing that we'll see on track will match what we saw at Las Vegas. So it'll be exciting, close racing for 400 miles. I think it's going to be a very fun weekend in the NASCAR world.
I am excited to see it. Mile and a half have produced great, great racing with this car, especially this season. So I'm really excited for this weekend. I think we're going to see something cool. All right, with that, it's time for Racing Refresh Picks.
Yay.
All right, Peggy, come on in here and update us on the score. Go ahead.
So last week, Adam won. He's not here to celebrate. He picked Tyler Rennick, who finished sixth, which beat all of us. So here's our new score. And Colin picks first.
See, I have AJ Allmendinger on my list, and if I remember correctly, I don't think I got a message saying to bank my picks, so I think you guys just made it for me, which is fine. I don't hate anybody here, but I did have Allmendinger on my list, and I kind of feel bad about it because I would have used Allmendinger, just so you know. But my four choices I have for the rest of the year, because I screwed up, because Logan, I still see you have Harvick and Logano, so you can solidify. You can pick Harvick and Logano each of the next 2 weeks for you, and you win. You win this year. You know, that's pretty good for you. You know, because all I have is LaJoy. I have Almendinger. I have Justin Haley, and I have Ty Dillon. I have three guys who are possibly lame ducks for the rest of the year who probably don't care, because Ty Dillon's not going to care. Justin Haley, he's gone. He's leaving college. So is AJ Allmendinger. He's probably going too. So for me, and I hate finishing at five, I don't want Adam to finish ahead of me this season, because I don't want to lose to Canuck. I don't want to lose to the person who celebrates the wrong Independence Day, who probably drinks out of a glass jar maple syrup, because here in America we get in plastic bottles. Shout out Miss Buttersworth. She knows what's up. She knows where it's from. So I'm going to go Corey LaJoy. Corey LaJoy, he's going to win this week at Las Vegas. He's in that Bainbridge car. We probably know Andretti's buying Spire Motorsports. They're hiring people left and right. That team is getting better every single week on the racetrack. Give me Corey LaJoy. Instead of stacking pennies this week, he's going to be stacking dollar bills, y'all. He gets the win at Las Vegas.
All right. We'll see. Corey LaJoy. Who's next, Peggy?
Logan's next.
All right. I'll take Joey Logano. He's pretty darn good at Vegas, and I still got him to use, and so we'll take him.
There you go.
I'm next, and coincidentally, I was also going to take Corey LaJoy, but now I can't.
Yeah.
So I will take Chase Briscoe. And Adam is last, and he is taking Carson Hocevar.
Well, you know what? I hope that pans out for him.
You know, Adam is like the only guy who can pick Hocevar this week and actually win. Like I can see Carson Hocevar having the highest finish of any of the four guys we picked.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. He's good.
Yeah, he's really talented.
And that would help you. And Logan, we're about to get to closing time. I just want to know. You need to go first, because yours will make me laugh. And I know we're getting into it, but I'm sorry. I was just excited.
All right, buddy. Well, let's get to it. So with that, it's every great episode must come to an end. So with that, it's time for closing time. All right. Would you like me to go first, Colin?
Yeah. I don't get to the wrapping up part, but it's been a couple weeks and I'm a little rusty, and you know, things like this just really don't happen. Usually I wait a little longer.
All right. Well, I'll start first. If that's what you want, Colin, is that what you want?
Anything, please.
All right. So Peggy and I made the trip out to down to beautiful North Carolina to attend Legacy Motor Club Fan Day this past week, and it was wonderful. We got the opportunity to finally meet the King, Richard Petty himself. That's right, old seven-time, the original. Seven-time the first, if you will. There were some lovely photos snapped. Peggy, I can see you waiting with bated breath. Go ahead. Oh, yeah, there's me, and there's the King. And as you can see, he was humorous, because me and Peggy, happy as pigs in manure, as you can tell. Look, I was joyful. Actually, where that come from is I told him, you know, how far we've come from Ohio and the whole nine. And at first, he was very gracious and thank you. And then he sarcastically, with that big toothy grin of his, goes, "I really appreciate you coming down here and checking on us." And I thought that was hysterical in his big Southern drawl. And so that was quite chuckle-worthy. And as you can tell, he thought it was funny too, because you can see him kind of giggling to himself as he signs the hero card there. But it was great to meet the King and everybody else at Legacy Motor Club. Met Eric Jones and Carson Hocevar and Dale Inman, of course, Richard's longtime crew chief. Wonderful experience. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, and we don't get too famous here at Racing Refresh. I'll do it again next season, because I'd like Rich to live forever, and maybe he will, but he probably won't. So I enjoyed it. Any questions, thoughts, Peggy, Colin, anything at all?
You missed out because Peggy put in the group chat, and I don't know if she posted this on social media, but she said, get you a man who looks at you like Logan looks at Richard Petty. It was the funniest thing I've seen in social media in quite some time. It was perfect. I wish Logan would look at me sometimes like that too, Peggy, but he doesn't. So I'm glad you got to meet your heroes. They say never meet your heroes because they're never like what you think they are. But from hearing people talk about how Richard Petty treats his fans, I would say Richard Petty is probably the only hero that you can meet and you won't ever be disappointed by.
He was golden, and I love if we can put that picture up one more time, that one you just had right there. I love this man back here in the white mustache is having some joy off of my joy. He's having some joy off of my joy, and I appreciate that. Because you can see he's happy. He's happy as a clam. Tom Willoughby coming on through. Thanks for chiming in there, Tom. He said, if Logan looked at me like that, I'd be scared. Maybe Richard was. Notice he was staring pretty hard at that hero card. I have no idea. But it was a great, great honor to meet the king. I know
it's that we tried. What he looks like when he sees a cheeseburger.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
I love you, Big Red. I love you, Big Red. But you and Richard Petty and cheeseburgers are like right up here. I mean, they are for me.
That's the goal. And next year I'll go down there and try to catch him at the museum and go, hey, you want to get a cheeseburger? And we can do the damn thing.
Hey, King, let me buy you a Whopper.
Let me buy you a Whopper, King. Come on, boys. Let's go. It would be my honor to buy the King of Whopper, even though I got to tell you, I won't get into specifics, but I gave the king plenty of money this past weekend.
Question, real quick.
Yeah.
Did you ask him a question that you always wanted to ask the king, or did you like leave the meeting with him in line and then think to yourself, oh, I should have asked him that question?
You always kind of rethink it. You always kind of rehash it and go, boy, I should have did this or I should have did that. I asked him if he was ever like leaving the team or leaving the sport, and he stressed, I'm not going anywhere. But I didn't have any like burning question for him because, if you do enough digging, you can find out the answer to anything, right? But so my most pressing question would be, your status with Legacy Motor Club. And I brought that up to him in terms of, you're not leaving the sport, are you? And he very vehemently said, I'm not going anywhere. He's still at the shop once a week and he's there all day.
See, I would have been a little spicier. I would have said, did you really win 200?
Oh, I'm not. Oh, come on! Now to my great hero, the king. No, I couldn't possibly have gone and created controversy like
probably
that.
Probably won 199, but 200. Come on.
Well, who knows? Who knows? The records books are where they are. But it was great, and a shout out to you, Peggy, for doing the driving and making that happen. I plan on doing it every single year I can do it, as long as it doesn't become some sort of conflict for our project here at Race and Refresh, and even then I can probably do it in incognito.
Is the line really as long as it people say it is?
It was lengthy. It was lengthy. I felt lucky there.
There you go. You guys have a good day.
It was an honor to meet you.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. The line was lengthy. It was long.
It's like seeing Jesus. It's like seeing a religious figure. It's like seeing God.
I'm not going to quite say he's a religious figure, but he's about as big a hero on this planet to me as there is. So it was it's a huge moment in my life, and because I had an addictive personality, I got to do it again. That's just the way it goes.
We should all do the trip together.
Well, why not? Why not?
Because then I'll ask him the question, did you really win 200? And all then right. We get some content, and then I become the villain of NASCAR Twitter.
We might fight on that. I'm not going to lie to you. We might.
But we can both do, because we can go with a two-headed approach. We can say, the king, it'd be an honor if me and Logan take you out to Burger King so you can have it your way. We can even get you the crown,
yeah,
and anoint you as the king.
There it is. No, it was a lot of fun. And yes, someday let's buy the King of Whopper. Final words, Peggy Lore.
How do I follow that up?
You can't.
I'm picturing him wearing a Burger King crown.
Hey, we'd be eating it. Richard, what day is better? You winning your 7th in the Winston Cup Series Championship? You know, after everything you accomplished, or biting down into that number one with cheese with a Coke Zero and a ketchup and fries?
Wait a minute here. Whoppers are significantly better without cheese.
Oh, horse manure.
That's lies. Everything's better with cheese.
Amen.
One thing that's not good with cheese.
Everything is better with cheese except a Whopper.
You're just blasphemy. If I could yell at my fiance right now and say, is Whopper better with cheese? She would say yes. But I'm not going to. Hey, Em.
Yeah.
Are Whoppers better with cheese?
I don't fucking eat Whoppers.
There you go. So, fuck me, I guess. Sorry. F me, I guess.
Well, all right. With that, Colin, do you got any final words?
Well, I thought my fiance would help me out in the Whopper cheese discussion. I'll ask her again. Hey, are burgers better with cheese?
I mean, yeah. I put cheese on
a
burger.
See, there you go. She thinks Burger King is awful and gross. But the move, what you have to do, fat kids across the country listening to me right now, is what I used to do in high school. You go to Burger King, you get a Whopper. Then you drive your fat ass down to McDonald's and get a fries because they have the better fries. And you put them together, and then you eat like a king. You had it your way, and then you're feeling good at the same time. That's the move.
I hope that's on his bucket list.
The show has gone off the rails. I'm pretty sure that the last 2 weeks that I was gone, we didn't have this banter, this witty banter that we had. We lived in a world where Cody Rhodes didn't say yeet or anything like that. Now we do. And me and my fiance both cussed on this show, which we're not supposed to do. So that's a dollar in the jar. Did you say you were sorry or did you're blanking sorry?
No, I said I'm sorry.
Nah, she said she was blanking sorry.
No, I didn't say I was fucking sorry. I said I was sorry.
All right. Well, with that. Well,
on that, guys, we got to go. It was a great show. I'm glad to be back. We'll be back. I'll be back throughout the rest of the season.
Hope so.
Yeah, I'm not letting work get in the way of this. It was fun.
Thank you all for tuning in.
Now AJ is going to send us a terrible message saying we can't cuss on.
Thank you all for tuning in. Tom, Matt, thanks for the comments. Ryan, AJ, everybody, greatly appreciated. Adam chimed in on his drive to Vegas. With that, we'll see you next week, and we'll break down all the Vegas action and more. Until then, we'll see you at the next track.